today on Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel.
It's a legal affairs now, and it's Hollywood's hottest scandal. Actors Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni going head-to-head in the court of public opinion and in actual court.
You are one of the creators that has been subpoenaed by Blake Lively.
It's for her to say that I am somehow acting on, you know, behalf of someone is a joke.
So are you kind of banding together with the other creators?
Yeah, we all talk to each other. I think in total that's somewhere around 42, 43.
Who are some of them that we would know?
Popcorn Planet, Andy, Bill Sash, Perez and Candace Owens got separate subpoenas.
What is your personal opinion about how media covers the story?
It makes me question like where I get my information. Yeah. I don't trust it anymore.
All right, so what's the next step?
If you're going to drag me into your litigation, I'm going to say what I have to say and I'm going to do it really loudly.
Sometimes you just want someone to break down the drama for you. The court cases, the celebrity scandals, the viral Reddit threads. So you don't have to dig through it all yourself. That's exactly what this episode is for. Today, we're joined by someone who's quickly becoming that go-to person. Lauren Knighty, a name you might not have known a year ago, and maybe not even as much today, but she's risen from relative obscurity to one of the most relevant content creators in the gossip space. Why? Because she doesn't just post commentary. She gets pulled into the stories themselves. Case in point, she was literally subpoenaed this week by Blake Lively's legal team over the content she posted online. Yes, you heard that right. And she's here to tell us everything, what happened, how she got involved, and where that wild saga stands now. But that's not all. Lauren is also breaking down the latest developments in the Laura Owens case, the woman accused of faking pregnancies with multiple men, one of which being from the Bachelor universe, whose legal issues are only getting more bizarre by the week. So if you've been hearing bits and pieces of these stories online and want someone to put the puzzle together, this is your episode. Lauren dishes, decodes, and delivers the facts so we don't have to scroll for hours. It's gossip, it's legal drama, it's internet chaos, and it's all right here on Misunderstood. Thank you so much for joining me today on Misunderstood. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. It's cool to finally be on the show. I've watched your show for a little bit now. So.
Oh, I love that. So where are you? Where do you live?
I'm in Florida, around Jacksonville area.
Oh, nice. Okay. I'm in the Palm Beach area, so we're not too far. So you have become quite the little celebrity on your own, and I want to congratulate you because you are one of the creators that has been subpoenaed, right, by Blake Lively. And I want to, you know, say that that is a huge feat and you must be very proud of yourself.
Honestly, it was not on purpose. I was not expecting it. I don't really know how to feel about it still, but, you know, I'm kind of just going with it at this point. I was at first pretty shocked, but now it's kind of like, well, I have an opportunity to kind of speak up for myself and a lot of other people who haven't had a chance to do that now. So,
yeah, exactly. And I want to hear all about that, but I'm actually very curious about you. So can you tell people who you are? Like, I think you just started your accounts within the last couple of years, right?
Yeah. So I started my accounts with the intention of like playing games with my family and like making funny clips. And that was what I want to say, like December of 2023. So it's been like a year and a half, maybe.
Playing games then, like Fortnite, Roblox, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you nailed it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Or Quiplash, that kind of thing.
So. Awesome. And then, so how all of a sudden did it translate into you talking about gossip?
So I used to follow The Bachelor pretty closely. I haven't watched the last couple seasons, but I was reading the subreddits for The Bachelor, and I saw a case about this lady, her name is Laura Owens, and it was so crazy. She was accusing one of the former leads, Clayton, who's now a friend of mine, of impregnating her with twins. And I just saw the way he was getting piled on and the way like this guy, Dave Neal, another podcaster, I don't know if you know him, but was reporting on it, was getting piled on. And I was like, you know what? Somebody should say something about this. So I just kind of went out and made a video and then went from there. I was like, I didn't think anyone was going to watch this, but okay, I guess we can keep talking about that. So.
And at the time, how many followers did you have?
Oh God, like less than 100?
So it was like
No.
your family and your immediate coworkers or
I
something?
wonder if my family was following me. I'm not sure. Yeah.
So, and then, but when did it start to take traction? Like people just started to follow you and forward your stuff, and all of a sudden you gained followers. Like what happened?
Pretty much. I mean, Dave found me when I made the video because he was pretty much the only person covering that Bachelor fake paternity case. And so he had me on his show one time, and then that's how a lot of people found me. And then I just kept going from there. We stayed
Got it.
connected.
And
So.
then for people that don't know about it, I mean, you brought it up to me before we started and I looked it up. It's an insane case and it is still going on. So can you give us the rundown on like the backstory of that?
So she, there was this guy, Clayton Eckard, was one of the recent Bachelor leads within the last few seasons or so. And she was, a real estate client of his. They hooked up one night.
After he was on the show, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
They hooked up one night. No actual like intercourse or anything like that happened, but then she decides she's going to say that he impregnated her with twins.
Right. By the way, did he have to come out and like say, we didn't have sex, but like she gave me a blowjob?
Yeah,
Or
he
like,
did. He definitely had to say that. It was embarrassing, I'm sure, for him, but
oh my God.
he's been a champ through the whole thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. So she accused someone who had never had sex with her of impregnating her. And what I read, and I'm correct me if I'm wrong, she stole essentially her sister's ultrasound photos, who was having a baby, not twins, but a baby, and then somehow made it look like there was twins in there and said she was pregnant. What I didn't understand is, first of all, has her sister ever come out and commented about this?
Her sister's been very private, hasn't really said anything at all, no. She'll probably have to at this point now that there's a criminal trial, but that'll be for testimony and stuff like that. But as far as social media and just like speaking out in general, no.
Right. So how did it get to anything that the courts or criminal the system had to get involved with, because she only claimed something when she said she was pregnant. Usually you go after a man after you have the baby, say it's yours. He says, no, it's not. You demand a paternity test
Yeah.
and then you ask for child support. So like, how did it all get escalated to even before she had fake babies?
So, the fake baby thing, it turns out, it goes back quite a while. She's been doing this for like 10 years or so to four or five different guys. Three of them are now known publicly. And so he got connected with them before their family court case. They actually did do paternity tests, which came back little to no fetal DNA, which I guess the testing company, they can't say you're not pregnant because that's not their job, right? They can say you're not the father, I guess, but they can't say you're not pregnant. So they said we can't determine this because there's little to no fetal DNA.
Oh, wow.
So they did that a couple times. There were multiple pregnancy tests that came back like that. And so the family court, she proceeded in the family court insisting that she was in fact pregnant for some reason. And it just kind of escalated from there. So,
But was this a woman that was just like her ego was so bruised because this guy didn't want to date her and she wanted to ruin his life? Like, what is the impetus for something like this?
yeah, definitely. She seems to use the court as a means to punish men who don't want to date her. Guys she's either, hooked up with one time and didn't want to date her, or guys who didn't want to commit to her, anything like that. But she's just so wild. It seems like she's never been told no in her life, and she only knows how to like push back on people who don't give her what she wants until like they break almost.
Right. So, like, does she have a job? Like, is she being sh shamed in
No.
the media? Like, what's happening with her?
No, she doesn't have a job. I don't know what she's doing over there other than faking pregnancies, but it's an
Oh.
elaborate scheme. I'm sure it takes, full-time hours.
I'm
I mean,
sure
she's over there
it
drawing
does.
up dating contracts for these guys and trying to make them sign it and all this
Okay, so
crazy
wait,
stuff.
I heard that. I heard that in an interview that he gave really briefly. What is a dating contract?
Yeah. So she tried to make him agree to date her for a certain period of time to see if it could work. And the finer details of it are escaping me at this point, but she basically wanted him to do that and then said he would be off the hook if it didn't work out, which we all know is not true. But it was like she was saying, like, you need to do this or that in exchange for I'll get an abortion of these fake babies. And if you don't, then I'm going to have the babies. So it was,
Um,
just
I
I'm
see.
probably Probably missing some crazy stuff in there, but so much has happened that I just forget the small things, you know?
There is a world of opportunity out there beyond the typical 9 to 5, where purpose and grit and the American spirit come together in the Peace Corps. It's been called the toughest job you'll ever love. Tough because it asks so much of you. And the love part is knowing your hard work can transform lives and build bridges across cultures. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve. That's peacecorps.gov/serve.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
But so he, if he knew he didn't have sex with her, why did he even think that this was a thing?
I mean, she did some elaborate gaslighting. And then also she seemed crazy enough to be the kind of person who, like, you know, she didn't, how graphic do we want to be here? She didn't swallow, I guess. And so she could have gone to the bathroom and, like, you know, inseminated herself.
Like that level of crazy.
Yeah. She's that kind of crazy.
Oh my God. I wonder, you should have a scientist on your show and or a doctor and find out if that's actually a possibility.
We've had, I mean, doctors who've commented on these videos and stuff like that, not just mine, but Dave's mostly, because he was the primary person covering this. He's had people come in and saying, like, this or that is, like, not a thing. You know what I mean? But they did find somebody to testify at the family court trial. Some doctor, some retired doctor, his name was Dr. Medchill, who came in and basically said, oh, it could totally be possible. But I was like, you just, wow, any reputation you had before you retired is gone.
Right,
whoa.
Right. So it sounds like the judge was on to her. First of all, he passed the paternity test. Obviously, they found out it wasn't his. And she continued on saying that she was pregnant, blah, blah, blah. Then she said she had a miscarriage. But so now the court, or she was indicted, right, by a grand jury
she
on
was,
like
yes.
five different counts. Do you know off the top
I think
of your
it's
head?
Seven. Yeah, seven.
Okay,
I
so
wish I
what
could
was...
remember. Yeah, I can't. I know it's like fraud and related stuff, but I can't remember exactly what.
Okay, so it was
are.
Like fraud, all these different things that she's.
Yeah.
And so now on August 11th, she's due back in trial, and she still, you know, I saw something that he said, like, listen, if she would just admit it and be like, I'm sorry, I'm embarrassed, like I should never have done this, like they wouldn't have a problem kind of dropping it. But now it's like out of these guys' hands. It's more like the state is like, oh hell
Yeah.
no, this is fraud, and we're not going to let her get away with it. So now she's kind of screwed.
Yeah, I mean, the judge in the family court case after she changed her story on the day of trial on the stand, referred her to the DA or the county attorney, I guess they call it there, for charges, and they decided to go up on that because she's been doing this for a long time. It's technically she's like a first time offender because she's never been, you know, charged with any of this stuff, but she's been doing it for so long. It's like, oh my God.
I wonder if there's like a ring of girls that's like, you know, I hate to say this, they're mostly Russian, you know, these girls that go around and they're probably like trying to steal men's sperm and do something with it, impregnate themselves. I mean, maybe that's a thing. I just made
I
it
don't
up.
Know. I'm gonna have to look into that as soon as
yeah.
we're
yeah, I think you should uncover some like scandal that's going on. Cause you know, you always hear these stories where I always
yeah.
hear my guy friends, oh my God, I'm going out with the hottest girl, Svetlana, who's like
oh,
a
no.
biologist from Russia. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a real problem. You know,
yeah,
like
right.
it always ends up to be some crazy story. My grandfather, side note, died when he was like 82. He had a 26-year-old Russian girlfriend, Yana,
Oh, okay.
who, when he died, had on a cocktail napkin a new form of the will that, of course, left everything to
A
her.
cocktail nap. Oh, that's like
Yes,
straight out of a TV show.
I
What?
swear to God, this is a real story because they lived in Las Vegas. And he lived with her, and he had brought over her brother and her cousin, another guy, and a young child. The child was, I think, four. And it was her brother and her brother's child. And I don't know where the woman was. They didn't know where the woman was. And then the uncle, whatever. So my grandfather bought the next door house for them.
All right.
My grandfather dies. Yana says everything's hers. My, you know, grandmother, they had been divorced, fought her in court. Anyway, she loses. Long story short, we find out Yana, that was not Yana's brother. That was Yana's husband.
Oh,
and
no.
The baby was Yana. I swear to God, this is, I've never even told this story because I forgot about it until right now. Because my brother and I laugh about it, about, we're from, our family is from Russia, but we're like, Russians are fucking crazy. So,
well, now I know, I guess.
Yeah, that's my sperm stealing story about, you know, people that
I
have
take been... it you guys don't like hang out at family reunions and stuff. Or...
No, we do not. we do not. Okay, I digress. Okay, let's go to the Baldoni Blake Lively situation. Sure. For people that don't know it, can you give us a recap of the entire scenario of this case?
Mm-hmm. So just a very basic, not yeah. get too bogged down in the details because that could
no.
take years.
Yeah.
So they worked together on this film called It Ends With Us. It's a book based on a Colleen Hoover book about a couple where there's domestic violence involved. Blake Lively played the lead female actress, Lily, and then Justin Baldoni played the lead male, Ryle, but he was also the director of the film, and the studio that he partially owns, they were, you know, putting it on. So after the film, when they were doing all kinds of promotion and stuff like that, people started to say, like, why isn't Justin Baldoni with the rest of the cast? And it was really strange.
Right.
And then I start seeing at this point, because I wasn't following, I've never read the book, I hadn't watched the movie until after the lawsuit, but I start seeing people saying like all this stuff about Blake Lively and her past. I see that viral interview with Shasti Flaw come out where she's like, congrats on your little bump. I don't know if you know what
of
that
course.
Is.
Well, that's when I started to see it. And right. Before you finish, I just want to say, I did watch the movie.
Okay.
And then I saw the press a little, I mean, I didn't care, right? I saw the movie,
right.
I thought it was fine, whatever. I did think to myself, whoever was the person that decided what she was going to wear was a terrible addition because I thought her clothing was terrible.
She ultimately took control of that. So,
yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I thought she looked terrible. And that's all I thought. I was like, this is an odd choice of clothes for her. But that's all I thought. I thought the guys were hot. I thought the story was fine.
Yeah.
I thought, yes, it's about domestic violence, but it was like done in kind of a loving way. I don't know. It was like, everyone made a big deal about this is such a terrible topic and you have to deal with it with kid
mm-hmm.
gloves. And I was like, all right, whatever. And yeah. I saw the, you know, the news reports that they didn't want to walk the red carpet together. And then I didn't pay attention. And then I saw that interview. Now I have a 13-year-old daughter. We've seen Taylor Swift in concert 3 times.
Oh man.
for the Eras tour. Every time, for whatever reason, Blake and I think Ryan have always been at the concert. So we've seen them, we spotted them. Of course, my daughter likes Blake, loves Blake at the time,
sure.
because she was Taylor's best friend. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's written songs about their kids and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So at this point, Blake was like beloved, hot, beloved, does all these movies, great actress. In that clip of her talking to that woman, I was like, what a bitch. I could not believe
yeah.
she treated her like that. And it was the first time I saw that. And I was like, that is going to rub off terribly on Taylor, because if Taylor's best friend is that kind of girl, that's not a girl's girl. No one's going to like her. Okay.
Uh-uh.
That was my
Yeah.
2 cents of comments. Go on.
No, it's I understand, because I've since connected with Shasti. We did an interview together on my channel recently, and she's a really great woman. And so, like, at the time, though, I was also a fan of Blake, not like a super fan or anything like that. I was like, oh, I like Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. They're like a funny couple.
Totally.
And so I saw that interview and I was like, well, this was obviously a long time ago. I don't know if I really want to judge this person based on what they did a long time ago. I've had off days, I've done things. It just happens that she's in front of cameras because she's a high profile person. So I'm not going to judge that too harshly. But then it was like thing after thing after thing where people were pulling up where she had all this kind of controversy. And still, when the CRD complaint was given to the New York Times and that article came out, I was kind of like, well, you know what? I'm not judging her based on her past. It sounds like she apparently went through something terrible. So I'm going to kind of look at this with an open mind.
And when all that news broke that
yeah.
she had filed a claim against Justin, and I think at the time it was a bunch of other people, right?
It still is, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And essentially the suggestion is that she was harassed, sexually harassed
yes.
on set. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a big deal. And everybody seemed at the moment and that first couple weeks until there was a response that everyone believed her. And people were taking a side and saying, a lot of celebrities came out online saying, oh my God, and almost like a Me Too movement, like, how could this happen? I'm so upset for you. I stand by Blake. And I feel like his reputation, even though no one really knew who he was besides the movie, was like, oh my God, this guy must have been terrible to work with. And then the New York Times piece, I think, came out even before he responded, right? And then you really believe Blake. You're like, she is in the right here. That's my memory of it. Am I wrong?
No, because the New York Times had also said that they looked at thousands of pages of text messages to verify all this stuff too. So it sounded like, well, this is definitely what happened.
Right.
And Megan Toohey, who was a popular journalist for the Me Too movement, was the one who wrote it. So you're
Oh,
thinking,
wow.
like, of course, like there's sorry, lots of credibility to this. So, why would I not believe what she's saying?
Right. So, okay. So this comes out. He then writes his side of the story. And somehow, because by the way, this is very hard for the tables to turn once all of that press is out with such a
Definitely.
beloved actress, the table started to turn. And for court of public opinion, rather than just in his pages, he started to leak or show his own evidence. And people were like, oh, this is real evidence. This is crazy. So then I think the tides really started to turn, and it seemed like they really became to no longer even be 50-50. It was it, people were team Justin.
I mean, that's certainly kind of where I fell at the end of the day. It did take me a little bit to get there, but yeah, you could see that she was definitely dishonest with some of her descriptions of events. And people now, when they look at her lawsuit, they look at the amended lawsuit, which came out after he, made his complaint. As to now, they're like, well, we can't say this anymore because they've already combated that narrative.
Okay.
But the original, if you go back and look at the original complaint, it's like you were intentionally misleading about a lot of the events that happened. So, of course, people are coming down on his side now. So.
Right. Okay, so the negative for him is that he then filed his own lawsuit and that was thrown out, correct?
So,
Okay. Go
yeah,
ahead.
people think that his lawsuit was thrown out because, like, it didn't have merit or that it was frivolous. And a lot of people, honestly, in the media or like some podcasters and stuff picked up on that and they kind of ran with it because people didn't really understand that it was about pleading deficiencies and that a lot of the stuff that she said, it was protected by litigation privilege because she made that CRD complaint. So it's like if you put that in a lawsuit or in a legal proceeding, you can't be sued for that,
Okay.
for like defamation. So that's why his lawsuit, like a lot of his bigger claims, were thrown out. It's not because he harassed her. It's not because he did anything that she accused him of at all. It's because, unfortunately, a lot of the claims that she made that now seem to be not true are protected by that privilege.
Got it. So, all right. So here's where we're at, and correct me again if I'm wrong. She filed a claim. That claim is still going to go to trial next year. And that claim is about the sexual harassment. But there is another version, or is this all part of the same claim that she believes he created, he and the people that are in the suit did some major campaign to what? Blacklist her, to talk bad about her? Like what is she saying?
Yeah, so the major claims that she has now are the obviously the sexual harassment, and then there's this smear campaign narrative that they like defamed her somehow through the press and social media, like getting people to talk bad about her on their behalf. So like they're saying that he and his publicists basically either paid people or somehow influenced people to seed negative stories about her in retaliation for this alleged sexual harassment. And ruined her reputation
Oh, you mean
through that method.
after the claim came out?
Before and after.
Okay, right. So I remember the before thing, she thought that he and his press people were like having people say she looked bad, she looked ugly, she whatever, all these things about her so that people wouldn't like her, which seems really dumb. And by the way, if people think that, I don't think you can sue them for their opinion unless you can prove, right? I mean, unless you can prove that they were paid to say it and it was a smear campaign. Okay, I get it. But now let's get to what she's doing now. So in the last week, I guess it is, we've heard that a lot of content creators have been served with papers. You were one of them. First of all, do you know how many in total were served?
So I got subpoenaed through Google. So they technically sent the subpoena to Google for the information related to my Google accounts, which is asking for all kinds of things. But there were 16 of us. And
Okay.
then there were 20 people on X that came out this past week. And then yesterday we find out there are six or seven, I can't remember, on TikTok. So I think in total that's somewhere around 42, 43.
Okay. Yeah, and I see it's people like, and not to say that you're not a real content creator, but it's like Perez Hilton, who obviously, all the way to someone like you, that you're just like, listen, Perez is known for being very off-putting. He's been on my show. He's apologized a lot for the things that he says about people.
Oh.
But I mean, he knows what he can say about people, and he's just reporting. No one is paying Perez to say anything. Like, let's, but for someone like you too, that like just is talking and all of a sudden creating a following. First of all, let's start with this. Have you been paid to smear Blake Lively?
No, but I'm kind of hurting for cash, so hit me up.
Right. Have you ever been contacted by De Justin Baldoni or any of the people that work for him?
No, I've never spoken to anyone on either side involved in like this PR war.
Right. And so everything you are saying, not to lead you, but everything that you say is based on opinion, or is someone making you say these things?
Nobody makes me say anything. That's the only reason I do YouTube. It's like with my 9-to-5 job, all the 9-to-5 jobs I've ever had, I have to work for people who sometimes they make me do things I don't want to do, or I have to, say or not say things that I don't want to. But here it's like I say what I want, I cover what I want, and that is up to me. So it's for her to say that I am somehow acting on, behalf of someone is a joke.
Right. That's amazing. I love that you just said that. By the way, incidentally, what do you do from 9 to 5?
Well, I used to work in psych until very recently. So I used to talk about a lot of this stuff from a psych perspective. But now I work for a company that when people don't get their health insurance bills paid, I have to talk to the insurance companies and try to get their bills paid. Basically say, you have to pay this medical bill for XYZ reason. So
Oh wow. All right. So you're helping the underdog get stuff done. Okay, I love that. Well, hopefully you'll start to make enough money doing content creation that you can quit that and end up doing this. But anyway, so how did it work? So Google contacted you.
yes. So they contacted me through email. And I think I was the first person to get one, which is why I was so confused. And
And you just went on and posted about it immediately?
I did, and then I deleted it because I was like, somebody was like, this is a phishing scam. And so we went through this whole thing for a few days where it was like, this is a phishing scam. This is not a real subpoena. Yes, it is a real subpoena. No, it's not. And so that was a hard thing for 4 or 5 days because the lawyers would not answer when I asked them, is this a legitimate? Are you seeking my information from Google? Which is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to contact the person that they list there. But her
Okay.
attorneys would not respond. Her attorneys gave confusing answers to other people. They told my friend Andy Signor's, one of his lawyers who's helping him out, no, it was not real, or at least said, I don't think it's real a couple of times. And then later, said yes, but then said no again. It was very confusing. So we were kind of freaking out about is this real or not for a while. That was the big thing. And when they finally confirmed it, I was just like, well, you know what? I'm going in on this. Like, I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to represent myself how I want to. I'm going to say what I want to say about this because I would have stayed on my like little YouTube channel and my Instagram account with no followers, and she would have never known about it. Nobody would have ever known about it. But now, if you're going to drag me into your litigation, I'm going to say what I have to say, and I'm going to do it really loudly. So,
Yeah, good for you. So how did you get it confirmed that it was a real thing?
her attorneys did eventually email back. It just took a long time.
Oh, got it. Okay. So those same attorneys that didn't know about it or didn't want to answer, or it was a different set of attorneys?
Correct. It's
Oh,
same
okay.
law firm.
Crazy, insane. All right. So what's the next step? Like, what do you have to do? What do you have to give them?
So I wrote, there was some confusion about the date that this would be due before Google would possibly hand our information over. So I wrote a letter of intent to the judge saying, I'm going to file a motion to quash this. I don't think that they have reasonable basis to get my information based on these reasons. And then he gave me until Monday to file an actual motion. So I just had to do like a 2-page letter, basically,
Okay.
to let him know this is what I intend to do.
Okay.
Basically, this is why. Please help me. And
Yeah.
then he's like, you have until Monday to do this. So.
Okay. So, and you just want to get it squashed. But do you even care? Like, how cool would it be that you get pulled into this thing and you're like, listen, bitch, it wasn't, these are my opinions. And obviously, these are my opinions because look at how horrible you are. I mean,
Well,
wouldn't it be kind of cool to be able to get up and say that?
I mean, we're at the point now where I do have a chance to say that without letting her access my IP addresses and my bank account information and my
Oh, I
credit
see.
card information and all this crazy stuff
Oh,
that
is
she's
that the
asking
kind of
for.
stuff they want for from
Yeah,
you?
they want all this crazy stuff that nobody should ever be able to just say, I want this person's information and get it without making a case.
Oh,
So
that's
it's
unfair.
crazy. Yeah, so
Yeah.
I can make my case for that and I can say all that then.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it the way that I would say it on YouTube, obviously, which I think is what they're expecting. They're expecting us to act hysterical and crazy,
Right.
but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to act like somebody who knows how to compose themselves when working with the court.
But
But
okay,
I
so
can
there.
make my points.
Have they
So.
made an accusation to you saying, Lauren Knighty, we think that you have been paid by an entity to talk badly and to do a smear campaign? Have they come out and actually said that?
They have talked to some of the attorneys for people involved and said something along those lines. That is just what's been relayed to me. I haven't laid my eyes on it, but to me, they were very vague. They just said, like, she's made these accusations of a smear campaign against Wayfair and that people were acting on her behalf. I wrote back to them and I said, I didn't start covering this case until after your client's lawsuit came out. I started reading it because I was a fan of your client. I didn't find your client's story credible. That's well documented why, and that I, took her story with an open mind. And like these are things that you don't normally say to attorneys in like
Right,
litigation.
sure.
But I'm not an attorney, so I'm gonna act like myself.
Yeah.
So I just said, why was my account chosen then? Because it's well documented that this is where I got my information. You can go back and watch all the time that I spent talking about this and figure out exactly where it came from. Why do you need my bank account for that? Why do you need my IP addresses for that? How is that relevant to your litigation? And those questions a week later still have not been answered. So
Right. That's insane. All right. Well, I can't wait to hear what happens. Are you kind of banding together with the other creators who have gotten subpoenas?
yeah, we all talk to each other.
Who
But
are
as far
some of them
as,
that we would know? Like what anyone?
yeah, I mean, it's a lot of them are smaller creators. There's Popcorn Planet Andy, who's a little bit, he's probably the largest creator on there. There's Spill Sesh. I don't know if you
Oh
ever heard
yeah,
of
she
her.
was on my show.
Yeah, she's on it. She's on there now. I guess
Oh,
she announced
interesting.
that yesterday. So there's, let's see, who else?
Well, obviously Perez.
Right, Perez. So Perez is actually the thing with these is like we're a little bit separate from that because Perez, Candace Owens, and then also Andy's on both. But Perez and Candace Owens got separate subpoenas personally. So they got served personally, not through Google like we did.
Oh, okay. But have you
So
gotten a
yeah.
cease and desist or anything? Have they said you have to stop talking?
No, but good luck with that. I mean, wow, that would not go well.
Right. But can you imagine? I mean, like,
Can I imagine? Yes, at this point, yes, I can imagine she would do something like that, but she hasn't yet.
right.
So,
And then I don't know that you, isn't it first rights, like, aren't you allowed to speak your mind?
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
Okay.
I
Well,
don't bother her. It's not like I've done anything to harass her personally. I don't message her and like say I hate you and stuff like that. That's one thing. You can't do stuff like that, nor would I want to. But you can
right.
speak your mind on your own platform as long as you're telling the truth or making it clear that you're speaking your opinion about things, and
Right.
you're not intending to defame anyone. Like, this is my interpretation of this, or this is what I think about this person or feel about this person. And
Right.
you can't stop people from doing that. That's not how our country works. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's interesting is that the two cases we're talking about, especially with the Laura Owens one, it seemed like there was a lot of, these online sleuths, these Reddit sleuths are the
Yeah.
people that are really doing the legwork. I mean, doing more of the legwork than sometimes the lawyers or the trials or
Yeah.
anything that's going on. And with the Blake and Justin situation, so many people have read the documents, really gotten really deep into this, done deep dives into all the things because I think they went in with an open mind. Most people really liked Blake originally. No one even knew who this guy was, besides he was like some hot guy in a movie, By the way, who was the one who was the abuser in the movie? So you would think that most people would not like him. And I mean, listen, it's going to ruin both of their careers. The reason why I brought all that up, you've now become an internet sleuth, an online journalist, so to speak, which is cool. But like, what do you think about media? Like, what is your personal opinion about how media covers the story and how that makes the story blow up or not blow up and move to one side or the other?
I mean, I used to think that people who had all these conspiracy theories about how media is paid off and stuff like that were crazy. But just watching how this has all played out and how these bigger outlets who will totally cover things when Blake's side has something to come out, like when they apparently it was Blake's team, and I can't say that with 100% certainty, that leaked Perez's subpoena, Candace Owens' subpoena. They were all over that, right? But with these, it's like nobody wants to say anything. Everybody's quiet and kind of like, well, there's a reason for that. You know, I feel like they squashed a lot of that press. And so I'm like, it makes me question like where I get my information and like why certain outlets are publishing certain information and not other stuff. So I guess it's kind of warped my perspective of the world in general, to be honest. Just seeing a lot of the stuff these attorneys will do and the media will do, I'm just like, wow, this is messed up. So I don't trust it anymore.
And it's interesting, before you got the subpoena, were you just kind of covering the story daily and like giving daily updates of what happened?
Yeah, I mean, I would cover the court documents that came out right away. That was pretty much, I mean, most of what I cover, if not all, I mean, there's probably like, I'm going to say I'm like 90-10 on this, but like court documents are the big thing for me. And then I'll do like, if a popular story is going around in big news outlets, I'll probably comment on that. But other than that, I don't really do too much to like talk about this stuff. So it's mostly court documents. So like, why are you bothering me?
Right, exactly.
You
And
know?
by the way, what is the latest with the court documents?
So they had a Blake's team had put out a filing on Friday, basically saying that the reason they couldn't like explain more and she was getting backlash about these content creator subpoenas was because Justin Baldoni's PR team had privately disclosed in these attorney's eyes only discovery things that our names were on some list of people who had communicated with the PR. So insinuating we're guilty because we were talking to his PR team. But then yesterday, the attorneys for Justin came back and said, that's not true. Only one person on the social media subpoenas out of the 42 or 43 that there are was even listed. And it was because they had asked for a request for comment, which is like a common thing for media to do during a high profile case. So they said they called their bluff and they were like, you know what? Let's just make it so it's not private anymore. We're not going to object to this. Go ahead, make it public. And everyone will see that there's no smear campaign. And that these people were not on some list, and that there's no conspiracy here, and that she's basically just refusing to accept accountability and other people's opinions. So,
And then the latest is what? I mean, we're waiting until next year to hear more about the details, or do you think this will be settled? Like, what do you think is going to play out here?
I don't see a settlement coming unless she decides to drop the sexual harassment claims. I don't think that they're going to let that fly. I think if she did, for some reason, decide to drop that, I don't see it happening, but then they might settle on the smear campaign stuff. That's what I think. They might come to a settlement there. But as far as the sexual harassment thing, it's like very reputationally harming, obviously. And it's just like, it's kind of a mind, it's kind of like it messes with your mind to have someone make those kinds of accusations when it's not true. So I don't see that settlement coming unless she decides to let that one go. So.
No, I get it. What about the Taylor Swift connection? Is it true that Taylor Swift was like subpoenaed or something? How is she involved now?
She was subpoenaed. They were going to have to argue over whether or not they were going to quash that subpoena, but then it turns out, based on like what was said to the press by sources, so we can only go by sources here because it seems like, in my opinion, attorneys for both sides probably agreed not to comment publicly. But sources, you know, so take that with a grain of salt, said basically she decided to give over what they were looking for or give them what they were asking for without the need for a subpoena to be in place. So they withdrew the subpoena.
Got it. Okay. So, do you think that, first of all, what are both people doing now? Meaning Justin and Blake, are they filming movies? Does anyone like them? Do they go to restaurants in public? Like, what's their story?
I mean, Justin's been pretty private mostly. I think he was recently spotted in a couple of places, but they went out to like Hawaii for a long time. They
Him
were
and his
keeping a low
wife, you mean?
profile. And they've got two kids, so they were keeping a low profile. But then they came back, and I'm guessing it's because they have to be around for depositions and stuff in the last month or so.
Yeah, but obviously this is going to be affecting his career, and I would think he does have a case to come after her and say, this has ruined my reputation too.
Well, a lot
But
of people don't agree with his claims being thrown out, and they will still have an opportunity to appeal that if they want to, but we have to wait till this all kind of plays out first.
okay, got it. And is she filming anything right now?
I have no idea if she's actually filming anything. I've seen, obviously, we've seen her at like the Time 100 gala. There was the Seth Meyers thing, and she's been kind of pretty visible in the press and stuff like that. So she seems to not be
Hiding.
struggling as much as she claimed in a lot of ways, but
Well,
they were saying
but
she could barely leave the house and stuff. So.
right. But what's interesting is I see her on these red carpet things, and I always look at this and I'm like, wait, is this recent? Because why would, isn't she humiliated to be in public right now? And then
I
I
mean, I guess
like,
not.
and isn't her husband embarrassed ever? Like, I'm not, I really don't follow. I don't get why she's doing these red carpet things and acting like nothing's wrong,
Right.
especially. If she was sexually assaulted, abused, whatever, not assaulted, but abused and felt so terrible that she brings such a lawsuit publicly and is like trying to ruin this person's life, I wouldn't be able to get out of bed if that really happened to me. And instead, she's walking around getting her hair and makeup done and on red carpets, acting like she's so in love with her husband. I kind of doesn't, it's like so clueless to me because she knows the whole world is talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's different in how you respond to trauma if you've actually gone through something like that. So I try not to come down too hard about that. But at the same time, to me, it does seem like she got tired of playing the withdrawn victim and was like, "No, nah, I want to be out in front of the cameras and stuff again." So she just kind of let it happen. She's like, "You know what? Screw it. I'm gonna get out there and start talking."
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm someone who can definitely comment on what it's like for the media to take your story and put it into a zillion pieces. But, you know, I also interview people like that for my show a lot. And I will, you're probably too young to even know who Lorena Bobbitt is. Do you know who that is?
I've heard that name, but
No,
not
she's
really.
someone that many decades ago got angry with her new husband and chopped his penis off.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, good story. But I only bring that up because people called her crazy. She was on trial for it. They found her not guilty for temporary insanity. Whatever. No
Okay.
one remembers that part of the story.
Fair
They just
enough.
remember this crazy Hispanic woman who, she wasn't Hispanic, but this somebody who could hardly speak English, so they just called her a Hispanic woman, cutting off her husband's dick. This woman has changed her name. She's made her whole life about domestic violence and standing up for women who cannot speak for themselves because they've been so torn down by what their husband did to them and domestic violence cases in general. If you are someone that is going through some sort of abuse like that, you usually come to have a come to Jesus moment and are like, I'm gonna work on this for other people because I have a platform. That's the thing that bothers me, that she's not taking this time to go. She wants to be in front of the spotlight, no problem. But she should be doing interviews about domestic violence, about being treated a certain way, about women's rights, about whatever it is she wants, what it's like to be having a baby and people asking to see your boobs while you're, you know, breastfeeding while you're on set. I don't know. The shit that she wants to talk about that she thinks is abusive, she should be talking about it and why women need to stand up for other women about it. But I haven't heard her say one word about it. And because of her interview with that other woman that you had said you did a show with, and how mean she was, I don't think she's a girl's girl. By the way, when she said, when that woman said to her, "Congratulations on your baby bump," and she said, "Congratulations on yours," was that woman pregnant? She was calling her fat. What was that?
I don't recall if she was having fertility issues or if there was an issue with a miscarriage, so I don't want to misspeak. It was something along those lines, though, so I can't really
But I
totally
mean,
recall.
the journalist
Yeah,
was,
Shasti, yeah.
she was the one that was having fertility
I
things.
think I it was either that or there was a struggle with a miscarriage. I can't recall
Okay,
exactly what
but
it was, but yeah.
but for her to say that was very rude, right? I
Yeah,
mean,
absolutely.
yeah. And when that woman was just trying to give an ice, do an icebreaker and just say congratulations on your having a baby.
And I didn't even realize for the, I mean, that was the shocking part of it. So I didn't even realize at first until I went back and watched it before I talked to Shasti, like how she treated her for the rest of that interview. She was basically ignoring her the
Yeah.
entire time. And she was like demeaning to her when she asked questions about like the fashion of the film that they were talking about, which is a normal question to ask the
Right.
actresses, you
Right.
know? And she was so weird and standoffish about all of it.
Right. Yeah, terrible. Okay, anyway, so I can't wait to see what happens. I, as your new friend, want to tell you, do not be scared of any of this. Listen, I've been through it a million times. Do not stand down on any of it. I think you should definitely ride the wave with it. And, you know, everyone is on your side because they know you're not making this shit up or being paid for it. So I think you're going to be fine. But I really hope that, you know, this blows up for you in a way that people start to hear your voice and you start to pick stories that, you know, make a difference and that people want to follow. So speaking of that, are there any other cases or things right now that are piquing your interest that you're like, oh, I should talk about this?
I've been so busy doing traveling and all this crazy stuff because I've been everywhere in the last couple months. But yeah, the only recent thing that I feel like has been notable lately was that astronomer CEO situation, which everyone is talking about. There was also that Kanye West lawsuit where his former employee was suing him for saying some interesting anti-Semitic things. I don't know how that's going, though. That was supposed to, they were supposed to have some kind of hearing last month in LA. So I don't know how that's going.
Okay, awesome. Well, my suggestion again to you, someone who's been doing stuff like this, not podcasting, but like in general, being in the media for many years, is to kind of find the next thing that you want to say, hey guys, you should listen to this. Just like Turtle Boy, you know, who's been on my show a number of times, you know, became obsessed with the Karen retrial and just kept talking about it and kept bringing awareness to it. And people started listening. I mean, a case that I think you, I don't know if you followed it. Ellen Greenberg, I think is her name. If you don't know about it, you should look into it. It was a girl who, her fiance came in, found her stabbed 20 times and the police ruled it a suicide when the door was locked. It's because the fiance said the door was locked from the inside and he had to break it down.
Okay.
It's very clear that the girl did not commit suicide. Imagine stabbing yourself in the back.
Yeah, no, I was about to say that. How do you stab yourself? What?
Doesn't happen. But the parents are very rich of the fiance. And at the time, we're very good friends with, now I'm forgetting the guy, he was the mayor or the governor, whoever he was, who was about to run for, to be the vice, he was going to be the vice president for Kamala. Then she decided at the last minute to not pick him. I'm forgetting his name.
But anyway, I can't remember. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I can't
so remember. There is a scandal there. I've had people on my show talking about it. They just finally, I think, decided to reopen the case or look at more stuff. I think it'll be, you know, people have talked a lot about it, but like, that's a good one for you. So,
Yeah. I'm gonna look into that.
So. My 2 cents on that. But anyways, good luck to you. I love it.
Thank you.
I wish you the best of luck. And hopefully, you know, we'll have you on to talk about something else that you're following and that you are the expert on sometime soon.
Yeah, I know. I'll look into that and some other things and see what we can come up with.
Amazing. And again, please keep listening to Misunderstood and, you know, let your listeners know about your show. We can't wait to let them introduce them to you and let them know to come listen to you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Misunderstood.